in Luke 11, beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is sometimes referred to as the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer. It's not very long, but it has a lot of meaning behind it. It's got a lot of depth to it, doesn't it? But here was someone saying, teach us how to pray. Here was someone like Jesus who had no sin in his life, and yet he found time to pray. And we have a number of examples of Jesus praying. And as we look at this prayer, it is a very important prayer, as many today will even recite this prayer in the religious world. There are those who sing about it. But I want you to notice something else, what was said by someone years ago. Some brethren pray by the yard, but true prayer is measured by weight and not by length. It's not how long the prayer, it's what's being said within the prayer. And in that prayer, there's a lot of depth to it. But I believe there's another prayer that I believe is one of the greatest prayers ever prayed, and it's found in John 17, beginning with verse 1. You would turn your Bibles there, please, to John 17 and verse 1. And we're going to read of a prayer here that Jesus prayed. And you'll notice when it was prayed here in just a moment. But here's something that I want you to notice as we read through this, as I read it and you follow along. The reason why this is one of the greatest prayers ever prayed is because of the person who offered it. And the occasion that demanded the prayer. Another reason why this is one of the greatest prayers ever prayed is because of the contents within the prayer. And then we'll close out with the victory that's revealed within the prayer. Those four points that I want to bring out from John 17, beginning with verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. That's a great prayer. That's, I believe, the greatest prayer ever prayed. I mean, we could talk about the greatest sermons. Greatest sermon, I would say, would be from, now I'm just saying, would be the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. Or someone might say, well, I love the sermon that Paul preached in outside the city of Athens on Mars Hill, Acts 17. Someone may say, well, I like the sermon that was preached on the day of Pentecost. Oh, those are all great prayers. I mean, great sermons. But we're talking about a great prayer here. And it's not very long. I mean, it took probably 3 or 4 minutes for me to read that. But it's filled with meaning. It's got a lot of depth to it. A lot of weight to it. As we look at this prayer, and the reason why it's so great is because of the one who offered the prayer. Notice as we look in John 1, verse 1 through 4, in regards to Jesus, John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We're going down to verse 14 of John 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is revealed in the Gospel of John as He who was with God in the beginning. He who was God. Creator of all things, as we've read just now. The light of men. Who became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the reason why this prayer is so great. Because of the one who offered it. Jesus. He has also proclaimed the Gospel of John as not only as the Word or as the Lamb of God. Son of God. But He's also referred to later on in the book as the Bread of Life. Light of the world, the great I am, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life. And so the prayer in John 17 is great because of the person who offered it, and He was the greatest person who ever lived. No one lived as great a life as Jesus. The only one who ever lived on this earth without sin. And as you said a while ago in the prayer, left us an example that we should follow in His steps. It's a great prayer because of the occasion that demanded the prayer. Now let me just give you a few examples from American history of some things that I'm sure that most of you here are familiar with these words. For example, On March 23rd, 1775, in the House of Burgesses, and it was in the St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia, where this statement was made. There was a great debate going on among these men within the 13 colonies. Those who were sympathetic toward England, and yet those who wanted independence from England. And these words were uttered. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. You can't help but think of Patrick Henry. If you're familiar, and I'm sure that most of you are. What about the words 67 years ago? What was the occasion? Abraham Lincoln was giving the Gettysburg Address in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, following the battle at Gettysburg. Back in October, Vicki and I were back in Virginia and North Carolina for 2 weeks, and we had a few days where we were able to go up to Gettysburg. And I'd never been there before. Now that's been on my bucket list, to go to Gettysburg and to take a tour of those battlefields there. And then to go over there and stand in the area where he made that address. It wasn't a very long address, was it? It was pretty short. But it was packed with meaning. There was depth, and the occasion provided weight to the words. December 7, 1941 was described as a day which will live in infamy. Some of you remember those words when they were said over the radio. The day after Pearl Harbor was attacked by the Empire of Japan. The occasion gave weight to the words. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. You know where those words came from? From the inaugural address of John F. Kennedy in 1961. The occasion gave weight to those words. The beginning of his presidency. Neil Armstrong said, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." If he had made that statement while playing out on the sidewalk with the kids playing hopscotch, those words would have meant nothing. But he made it as he stepped down from his spacecraft on the moon and took the first step on the moon. The occasion gave weight to those words. And so, when we look at the occasion that demanded this prayer, listen to what Jesus said. Father, the hour has come. What hour? His appointment with the cross. He's coming to the end of his life on earth. Father, the hour has come. A time of separation. A time of betrayal was about to occur. A time of suffering was about to happen. And crucifixion. A time in which God's eternal purpose is about to be carried out. A time in which Jesus is about to bear the sins of the world on the cross. The occasion in which Jesus knows that His crucifixion is imminent gives great weight to the words that He uttered in John 17, that are recorded in John 17. Another reason why this prayer is so great is because of its contents. What we find within the prayer. See, the prayer deals with a number of themes. For example, it takes us back. You'll notice in John 17 and verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Takes us back to eternity past. And he looks forward a little later on in the prayer. He looks forward into the future glory in heaven. It also deals with glory. Well, we see the term glory used time and time again throughout the prayer. The glory of the Father and the Son. The honor in which they deserve. The disciples glorifying God on earth, rendering esteem toward God. The Son giving glory to His disciples. giving them honor. I mean, they're getting ready to carry out a big task when he leaves this world. Carrying on his mission. Carrying out the gospel of Christ. The disciples beholding the glory of the Son, who's worthy to be praised and worshipped. But it also discusses the Father's love. Those are some of the themes that we find within the prayer. The Father's love for believers, and then also the Father's love for His Son, Jesus. That's brought out in this prayer. But here's something I want you to think about. You might want to write this down. Really, when you look at this prayer in John 17, verses 1 through 26, there are three great divisions in this prayer. Three great points to be made. First of all, Jesus prays for Himself. Verse 1 through 5. When you got up this morning, did you pray? And if you did pray, how did you start off? How did it start? I guess it doesn't matter how we started, but Jesus started His prayer off by praying for Himself. This morning, I went to my Father in prayer and said, Lord, be with me today. I need Your help. I need strength. I prayed for that. But my prayer wasn't just for about me. But I started off with it about myself. So verses 1 through 5 deal with Him praying for Himself. See, He said, glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You. That's brought out verses 1 and verse 5. But now here's another important point, a part of the prayer. He prays for His disciples, His followers, those who had been following Him and those men that had been close to Him that had been appointed as apostles. Verse 6 through 19, He says, keep them. Keep them. Sanctify them. Set apart from the world. Keep them. Protect them. Be with them. And then the other part that's very important of this prayer is that He prays for all believers. The last part of the prayer says that they all may be one. That they may behold My glory. That's brought out in that closing part of the prayer. And then the fourth point of this lesson, and why I believe the prayer is the greatest prayer ever offered, is the victory. The victory that's revealed in the prayer. We live in a world which just is filled with danger, with deception. Well, let me just turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. We live in a world which is deceived. And I believe when you go back and look at the prayer and you count the number of times that Jesus talked about the world, I believe it's about 19 times that He mentions the world in His prayer. The effect that the world can have upon those who believe in Him. The effect that the world can have on us today. In 2 Corinthians 4, beginning with verse 3, the Apostle Paul writing, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We live in a world where people are blinded by Satan, by our adversary. And in this prayer, the victory in Jesus is revealed. The world may be deceived, but Jesus has shown us the reality in revealing the only true God. And He did that from the very beginning of the prayer. You'll notice where He said that they may know. That who may know? That the world may know the only true God. That's what's going to help people get through this life. Isn't it sad that so many people just turn a deaf ear to the truth? Well, we live in a world that's dangerous. that's just filled with danger. The world promises fulfillment, but it's going to pass away. What did John say in 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We're being tempted daily. Being deceived daily. And as we sang the other night about our spiritual warfare, how important it is that we just realize that we are soldiers of Christ. And we are to stand up as soldiers of Christ. And go on the offensive instead of always kind of backing away. We too often retreat. We've got to push forward. Onward, Christian soldiers. Marching as to war with the cross of Jesus. The battle belongs to the Lord, as we sang the other night. Soldiers of Christ, arise. Be strong and courageous. And what do we sing at the closing of those songs? Faith is the victory. Faith. And we read of the faithful men and women of God in Hebrews 11. Those people had their eyes upon things that were not seen, as we talked about last year in a lesson I presented, faith in the unseen. We see faithful men and women of God who were victorious as they looked toward that heavenly goal. Jesus provides security. As he said in John 17, verse 11 and through 12, as they are kept, his disciples are kept in God's name. And then we live in a world that's defiled, defiling those who accept it. In James 1, verse 27, we read, pure and undefiled religion before God is this, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. How important is that we keep ourselves pure and holy before Him. And Jesus provides what? Sanctification through His Word. That's what He prayed, John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by Your truth. Set them apart. And we also live in a world which is divided. And when I say divided, look at all the religious division there is today in the religious world. I don't like that. I'm sure you don't either. To see people divided religiously. And I know God certainly doesn't like it. When we notice in a reading here in the prayer, He said there in verse 22, that they may be one just as we are one. See, Jesus offers unity through His glory. So, when I look back, just right prior to the prayer, John 17, verse 1, if you look back at the previous chapter, verse 33, I have it up here on the screen. These things, He said, I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, I have overcome the world. He's made it possible that we can overcome the world as we follow His example. What a wonderful Savior that we have in Jesus Christ. So these are four reasons that I believe help us to appreciate why Jesus' prayer has been called by some the greatest prayer ever prayed. I'm not ignoring the fact, the importance of what is sometimes called the Lord's Prayer. When He answered the question, Lord, or the request, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, well, here's the way you do it. Here's what you say. But here's another prayer, though, that has got a lot of meat to it. It's got a lot of depth. It's a great prayer because of the one who offered it. the occasion that demanded the prayer, as he neared the end of his life, and the contents that are within it, and the victory that's revealed in prayer. You know, here was someone that lived his life without sin, and yet we read a number of places where he prayed. He'd pray all night. Here was a person who lived without sin in his life, and yet he saw the importance, the need to pray. And I don't know, I'm sure you agree with me. I think the older we get, the more we pray. The more we pray. I'll never forget 4 years ago when my father was in his last few hours of his life, paralyzed from his chest down and unable to speak, but yet he could understand. And saying to him all through the night, I'd like to know what do you need to help you at this time that he was going through with pain and suffering. And the doctors and nurses were doing all they could to relieve that pain and the discomfort that he was going through. And I would look into his eyes and say to him, I said, Daddy, do you want me to pray? And he'd nod his head. And sometimes I'd hear him whisper, yes. And pray. And a few minutes later, I'd come back to him, do you want me to pray? And, yes. I don't know how many prayers through the night. But here was someone in a time, and at that point of life, nearing the end within a few hours. Pray, because prayer brings us closer to God. You know, when we look at His Word, God communicates to us through His Word. But isn't it wonderful, though, that we can communicate with Him through prayer? That we can approach Him in prayer? And when you finish praying, don't you feel so much better? You feel closer to Him. And you're doing what He wants you to do. He wants us to communicate with Him. And so I hope this morning this lesson will be helpful to you, as I believe it's helpful to me, that I don't give up on praying to God and look back at my Savior who uttered these words to help those of us who believe in Him. He was praying for us, folks. That last part of the prayer is for us, for all those who believe and follow Him. I'm looking at the clock back there, and I think you said I got about probably 5 minutes. There's a song. You probably knew I was going to throw a song in here, didn't you? All right, there's one in your supplement, and you might have done this one. Brad, have you all done this? We Are One? Have you heard this? Okay. And some of you are looking at a book. Look in your book. Okay, this thing's not responding real well. It is song number 112. 112. I really am encouraged and edified by the words of this song. In the body of the Lord, we are bound in unity. Just as we are one with God, you're also part of me. We are members of His church, made to fill each different role. When we use our gifts for Him, then our work builds up the whole. When you serve where I cannot, I rejoice in what He's planned. By your strength our work is done, and we follow His command. Thus we bear each other's loads, till we rest with Him above. All together we can serve, joined in labor, faith, and love. We are one. As we serve in truth and perfect love, all united in the mind with Him above. So, in the body of the Lord, we are bound in unity.
just as we are one with God. You are also part of me. We are one as we serve in truth and perfect love, all united in the mind with Him above. We are members of His church, made to fill each different role. When we use our gifts for Him, then our work builds up the whole. We are one as we serve in truth and perfect love, all united in the mind with Him above. When you serve where I cannot, I rejoice in what He's planned. By your strength our work is done, and we follow His command. We are one as we serve in truth and perfect love, all united in the mind with Him above. Thus we bear each other's loads till we rest with Him above. All together we can serve, joined in labor, faith, and love. We are one as we serve in truth and perfect love, all united in the mind with Him above.